Good morning, Fort McMurray with Buffalo and the rest of the world. You've tuned into the Max City Morning Show. I'm your host, Elliot Pierre. We're going to start today's episode the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know that you could be doing a million other things with your time, and the fact that you spend it with us truly does mean the world to me. So thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro.
How she caught me, loves. You're listening to the Max City Morning Show.
It's Carrie with Patchouli Rose Herbal Apothecary. I know our...
Hey everybody, Keith Simpson here from Neralta Eta. Just a quick chat about the wonderful community we live in here. As you guys know, we support the Oil Barons. We've joined the drive-in movie theater. We're involved in the marathon here in Fort McMurray, and make sure we're taking care of the kids and all the local businesses, all the local charities and all the local foundations, guys. That's what makes this community such an amazing place to live.
And we are back. Big shout out to Noral Toyota. Thank you for your ongoing support. We really do appreciate it. As you know, I don't introduce my guests because they can do a better job at that than myself. So can you please tell everybody at home who you are and what you're about?
Hello, my name's Allie. I'm a artist here in town. I've been in here for about, I'm going to say 10 years.
Okay.
I've been living here, originally from Montreal. But my husband and I met out here in Alberta, and then we moved up here to Fort Mac so we could both work.
Where in Alberta?
We met in Red Deer.
In Red Deer.
Yeah, magical place.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you about this magical place. What are your opinions of Red Deer?
I really liked Red Deer. I really liked it. The people were, it was a really good mixture of farmers and cowboys and oil field workers, of course.
Right.
And I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I worked at Billy Bob's there. So I met...
Everybody. There we go.
Yeah.
Okay. The reason I ask is I have a group of friends that I like grew up with, and I've never been to Red Deer before. I've only driven past. Yeah.
But you grew up here, right?
I grew up in Fort McMurray. Yeah. And so never been to Red Deer, and they love it. Like they have all these awesome stories about when they went and traveled there and partied, and they're like, Red Deer's the best. But recently, over the last year, we've interviewed some people who lived in Red Deer and some people who were born there, and they didn't have nice things to say about it.
That's too bad.
And I was just like, conflicting.
Maybe it's only good if you're like passing
that's
through
right.
on your voyage
that's,
elsewhere.
That's what I'm thinking.
You know?
How did you get from Montreal to Red Deer? I understand how you could potentially get from Montreal to Fort McMurray, but Red Deer is...
Yeah, actually, I didn't know about Fort McMurray.
Okay.
Like, they don't really talk about it much in Montreal. It's not like a big push to come out here.
Yeah.
So I actually came out here because I was tree planting.
Okay.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
So I was tree planting, and my sister ended up falling in love.
Yeah.
And she was planting with me, and then she ended up marrying the guy from Red Deer.
Okay.
And anyway, I went back home to Montreal. I was working in bars there, and my sister got married and had a baby, and I came out here and decided I didn't want to ever leave again.
That's nice.
Because I wanted to be part of his life. So
there we go. And do they still live in Red Deer?
Yeah, they're in Pinoca now. They have a little farm.
Oh, you guys are a bunch of hippies.
I know.
Yeah.
Don't tell anybody here.
Yeah.
Though. They don't like that.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
So you do what here in the community now?
So I'm a safety advisor. So for the last five to six years, I was with Worley at Suncor Base Plant.
Right.
And now I'm with Sterling Crane.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm all about the cranes now.
There you go.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's a really nice company, actually. Yeah. Yeah. So the branch we have here is small, but we're starting up again, and it's really exciting.
Yeah.
Actually, so
cranes are crazy.
Yeah, I know.
I have a few friends who are crane operators. I won't say their names.
Oh, really?
But
I guess later.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Anyways, they're amazing. And I remember, because I grew up here and we had something, still do have something called the RAP program.
Yeah.
So in high school, you can start your trade.
Mm-hmm.
So I had friends who literally were in grade 11 and 12 operating these cranes. Oh. And they were like learning how to do it, right?
Yeah, yeah. Start small.
Yeah. And I would just go through their manuals and they would tell me what they're doing. And I was just like, what the
heck? No, it's really intense.
It really is.
Yeah, it's a big piece of equipment. And it's a little intimidating, but I guess that's where I come in.
There you go.
So right now I've been with them for about 7 months now. So I'm still learning a lot, but it's nice. I get to travel around to Seanock, Long Lake, and Curl Lake, which is a whole other world.
Yep.
And CNRL, and even Suncor now.
Nice.
So I get to move around a lot. So I get to see a lot of... different plants and stuff, which is really fun for me.
which then I have to assume, like, I don't know, like, I do, nobody believes me when I say this, just because, like, the conversations flow on this show so nicely, but I go out of my way to do zero research on our guests.
Yeah.
So, like, when you messaged, I didn't look at your social media, like, I don't go on your Instagram.
I didn't look at yours either.
I look at nothing. Good.
I didn't know about this until 11 o'clock last night.
That's right.
That's fun.
And so, today, when you were talking about your safety officer, but you brought this art in, too, so... Yeah. Like,
I thought it would be weird to talk about art if I didn't have any with me. Like, just have it in my mind, you know,
I'm a great artist. So what So what is this art about? Like, how did you start? Like, this is obviously, you're extremely talented.
Well, thank you. This is actually the last one I did. I just finished it this week. This one, usually I work off commission, but this one I kind of just, it popped into my head and I just couldn't let it go. So I just decided just to start it.
Right.
And, underneath, I kind of went a little nutty. It's a little more abstract underneath.
Mm-hmm.
But then on top, I started layering in different parts of plants and different parts of Fort McMurray that mean Fort McMurray to me, you know?
Right, right.
So because I work in the refineries, I have some refineries, and now I work in cranes.
Yeah.
Put a little crane over there.
Yeah.
A little RT.
Yeah.
And then I have some of the buildings that I frequent here.
Yeah, the mall, the cinema.
You know what's funny, though? I noticed I didn't actually put my house in there at all.
Okay. Yeah, you don't spend a lot of time there.
Yeah, I just, I'm in it, so I didn't really think of the outside of it.
Yeah.
But I thought that was kind of funny. And obviously, I put some dinosaurs, because that's the lifeblood of this place, I guess.
Yeah, very cool. But so, let's talk about your art. So, you say you're commissioned. So, is this like a, obviously, like, your safety officer. So
yeah.
This is something you do in your spare time and then you turned it into
a
form
of
business?
Side hustle.
Yeah. Yeah. Explain that to me. Yeah. How did that all start?
It didn't start off that way. Like I started painting, really painting about 10 years ago or 12 years ago. And my husband was working up here and I was living down in Edmonton by myself with the babies. And that was more just to keep myself sane, you know, have something to do other than rear children.
Yeah.
And, and then when I moved up here, kind of started painting a little bit more. I put some paintings up at Mac Island. They have that little gallery there.
Right,
so I'd
right.
done some cityscapes and stuff like that. So I really like buildings.
Yeah.
And then I started working on site and it was the middle of winter and it was a little like dark and cold. And I was just looking up at these Cokers.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what? Like, those are really impressive. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of a dark and gloomy place in the winter, but damn, that was really impressive to me. So I went home and I just started to paint it and I decided to make it a happy, fun purple and orange color. And I posted it online and my husband was standing at the smoke pit in at Suncor.
Yeah.
And somebody beside him saw him it pop up on his phone.
Yeah.
And so he goes, who painted that?
Yeah.
My wife painted it. He goes, ask her how much she wants for it.
Mm-hmm.
So my husband texts me and he goes, how much do you want for it? I said, this amount. And he goes, sold. So my first painting, of a site got sold in a Suncor smoke pit.
Nice.
Yeah.
And so.
So then it just went from there. The same gentleman asked me to paint another section of a refinery.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big 6-foot by 4-foot painting. So I did that one. And then it kind of snowballed from there.
Yeah.
Just kind of people would walk up like ask me or email me from work and ask me to do different areas and different refineries. And so, kind of went from there.
Cool.
Yeah.
And so you were saying that like some retirees get your stuff. So do you make like big things? Do you make postcards? Like do you do the prints? Like how does that work?
I got hooked up. I don't know if you know her, Crystal Mercury. I'm sure you
do. Yes, I do know. Crystal's
been
on the
show. She's wonderful.
Yeah, she's
so
awesome.
So she takes pictures of my paintings, and I send them down to Edmonton.
Right.
And there's a company there that does reproductions. So they'll do canvas prints, or they'll do just photo prints that you can frame. They'll frame them too.
Yeah.
But then I got these metallic prints that are really cool, super glossy, really beautiful, and they can do any size, you know. So they've been ordering just random different sizes of different pieces of whatever plant they hold dear to their heart.
Yeah.
And giving those as gifts and then they'll sign around it and it's pretty fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you said you only started like painting 10 years ago, but like you must have had some form of like background or you must have like doodled or something.
Yeah.
I
used to do a lot of house plans. Like I like architecture, I guess.
Okay.
And so I used to drop, floor plans and elevations. And I used to draw a lot of cars too, boats, that kind of stuff.
Right.
But it was really just, I took one class once, but it was like nudes. So it really has nothing to do with what I do now.
Yeah.
But just kind of my grandma was an artist. I never knew her, but she was an artist. My dad's kind of a technical drawer.
Okay.
So I guess it kind of comes from there.
Interesting. Yeah. Very cool.
Thanks.
Well, listen, Tanner tapped his phone. That means he's got his questions ready for his segment, the Max City Morning Show. But I'm throwing him a little bit of a loop. We are going to throw it to a sponsor. So can you cue up the sponsor video for a Carrie from Patchouli Rose, Tanner?
No.
Nope. Okay. Well, listen, we're going to talk about her. Carrie, thank you for your ongoing support. We really do appreciate it. Tanner, hit her with the Max City Minute.
Alrighty. Question number one for you today. What is your favorite part of bringing your art to the people of Fort McMurray?
Oh, that's an easy one. Whenever I'd finish a painting, I'd bring it into my office at work, and the guys would come in and just stare at it. And once in a while, I'd get a comment like, "Oh, you know, this morning I was driving in, and the sun hit, you know, plant 9 was, I thought you'd really like it, and I wanted to take a picture, but I didn't have my phone." Yeah. And so I feel like it kind of changed the way that they saw the place, and brought a little bit, threw a little bit of sunshine on it, I guess, and that was the kind of the whole point for myself.
Question number two, what is one place in Fort McMurray that inspires you and your art?
Oh, that's got it. Well, obviously any refinery I go to. And now that I'm looking for it, I'm looking for the pretty things or the really cool things. Mm-hmm. I find I see it everywhere when I go there.
Question number three. What is one thing you find beautiful about sight that you wish more people could see?
The work that goes behind it. Like the hours and the sacrifices that everybody makes to work there. That means a lot. And sometimes that gets a little lost, you know, in the politics or in the work ethic of it all. It's just the guys that work there, they're committed and their families are committed. And it's pretty inspiring to see what they've done.
Question number four. What do you think is the most underrated form of art?
Abstract, for sure. I think it's awesome. I don't do much of it, but I find it hard to because I'm very literal when it comes to painting. And so for me, the hardest part is just letting go, you know, and kind of throwing color at it, you know. So I find I'm structured, but then I have to stop myself and try to be more relaxed.
So. And your final question, mm-hmm. What was your favorite art project you did when you were a child?
Oh, I designed my future mansion.
Those have been your five questions.
Yeah,
it's one of those things. When I was young, I worked out at site for a little while.
Yeah.
And the scale of it always was so impressive to me.
Easy.
Like as soon as I got out there, I was just like, because you see your first heavy hauler and that thing is huge.
Yeah. And you can't imagine what it's like until you're right beside
That's right.
It's frightening.
But then what transpired was like the whole site is built on scale to accommodate that big truck. And you're just like, what the heck is going on here? Like, you know, and then after like a few days, it becomes normal.
Yeah.
And I just remember like sitting down and like thinking about that. I'm just like, how did that become normal? Yeah. And who comes up with building, like the thought process behind it?
Yeah, the engineers behind it, the people that planned it out. It's impressive what the human can do, you know? And
then
all these guys, like they all work on little parts of it, you know, all over, but all together it's you know, we're all like ants, you know, just building insane structure.
Yeah.
And if you don't stop to like really appreciate it once in a while, it kind of gets mundane and day to day. But you got to stop once in a while and realize that it's a pretty cool place.
Uh-huh. And like I was a summer student. So like one day I was like, you know what? I'm going to try to trace these the pipes.
Yeah.
And I was just like, because I had nothing else to do.
Yep.
So I was just like, and I'm like, what the? And you just start like thinking about like, okay, there's somebody here, obviously, that knows where all of this goes, and it's all for a reason.
Yep.
Who the hell came up with that?
Yeah,
it's nuts.
And I've seen like the 3D schematics that they have like on their systems and stuff, and it's all color coded as well. So it's all
really?
10 different colors, and every pipe is a different color. Like every line that feeds into something different is all different colors. And I'm looking at this, I'm like, I need to paint that.
Yeah.
You know, just all the piping.
No doubt.
And sometimes some of my paintings are just piping.
Yeah.
You know, so, but it is pretty cool.
Yeah. And I agree with you. I think they get the staff or the employees, the people out there, they get a bum rap.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't spend that much time out there because I just couldn't. It's not my environment. I struggled in it. Like, I don't want to work out there.
Yeah.
That being said, I take my hat off to everybody that's out there. Because like you said, it's hard. It's a sacrifice. And I think a lot of, like, the people who work out there get a bum rap because they are paid well.
Mm-hmm.
And they do get a good amount of time off. That being said, they need that time off. That's not like companies aren't giving you that because, like, oh yeah, take all the.
No,
take
you
the
need
six.
That mental break
you
from the place
need
once in a while.
That break.
You
it's
see
a
your,
hard
see
place
your
to
wife
work.
And your family.
That's right. It's a hard place to work, and I don't think oil sand workers get enough like credit for like the environment and the work that they do.
Yeah, we did that for 3 years. My husband is up here working.
Yeah,
he was a pipe fitter, and I was, you know, back in Edmonton with the kids, and that was hard.
Yeah.
I wouldn't see him for 18, 24 days at a time, and I was so lonely.
That's right.
And that's when we decided. I was like, no, we're moving.
I'm moving.
We're moving. I don't care what we're staying in, because at that point it was expensive up here. But that still is, but still not as much.
Not as.
And so we moved into, like, the smallest apartment I ever had, you know, and but it was worth it.
Yeah.
You know, and this place has grown around us, like, insane in the last 10 years.
That's right.
So.
How many kids do you have?
Two.
Two children, boys, girls.
One 13-year-old girl and 11-year-old boy.
Yeah.
They're awesome artists, actually.
Really?
Yeah, that's how we spend all our time together.
Wonder where they get it from.
Yeah, they're amazing, and they're so patient. Like, they'll sit with me for, like, 8 hours at a time. During COVID, that's all we did, you know, when I had to be off work once in a while because I was, you know, contact or whatever.
That's right.
We spent, like, 8 hours a day just painting.
So when you're painting with them, are you teaching them how to sketch first? Are you just going with the paints? Like, I know nothing about art.
So I actually sketch first, usually.
Okay.
So it is very important, like, to know your lines, unless you're just doing abstract, which is a whole other thing.
Right.
But yeah, patience and, like, kind of teaching them the steps, you know. Mm. But I'll also get them to help me with mine sometimes, especially the more abstract parts and stuff.
Yeah.
So they'll help me with my art and stuff. So I have two little apprentices.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And so I have to assume you're not still in the apartment.
No, we got a house.
Okay. Yeah. So... where is your favorite place to paint? Do you do it in a garage? Do you have a special room?
Well, my husband's not going to like this.
Have you taken over the living room?
I want to take over the garage.
Yeah.
But right now I'm in the basement.
Yeah.
So we have decent light in the basement, but we also have carpet.
Oh, no.
So that's ruined.
Yeah.
I tried, but, you know, we'll just have to replace that eventually.
That's right.
But no, last weekend I spent it in the garage doing this one with the door open, you know, and neighbors would drop by, and that was awesome.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to worry about the paint on the ground. So.
Yeah.
I've been slowly trying to take it over. But it's a process.
Sorry. Yeah. No, it's one of those things when you're a creator of something, space is crucial for that creative process. And I know when we started doing this podcast, we rented a house up, or a townhouse up in Abasan.
Yeah.
And everybody thought, like, that was the house that I lived in. And although this looks like a living room, it's not. We're in an office building.
Yep.
But there's no way that my wife would allow me to take over this space and create this environment in the house.
Oh.
It would be a nightmare.
Yeah.
My little kid would destroy it.
Mm.
So it's like, you got to find that space.
Yeah, my space right now, it's shared with, like, our big TV and our big couch. And so often I'll just put the headphones on and just space out. You know, my kids are old enough now that it's not an issue, you know.
Yeah.
Just close the door.
That's right.
They can fend for themselves for a while.
Yeah.
But, I'd love a studio. And this is, you know, the typical size that I do. So it's, you know.
It's large scale.
It is, and it's messy. Like, some of the process I do is all ink and water, and it, like, goes everywhere.
Right.
And so I'd love a studio, but it's not really feasible.
Yeah.
Right now.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, when you are painting these images, are you painting them from memory? Are you taking photos?
Yeah, so some of them are photos I got online. Some of them are photos I take. Some are just from memory.
Yeah.
Like, I know Crane's pretty good by now, so I can kind of sketch those out.
Okay.
Any of the images in behind are just from my memory. But anything specific, like I said, I don't like to wing it. So the cokers and the refineries usually are very, they're specific and to scale.
Yeah.
And obviously, the Earls, Peter Pond, all that, I got online.
Okay.
Yeah, in the hospital, that was actually the hardest one to draw.
Yeah, no doubt, especially like with
yeah,
the
think
windows
it was the
and everything.
But, yeah.
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 Well, listen, Tanner just tapped his watch. That means we're out of time.
Yeah.
But before we cut you loose, everybody gets a shameless shout out or plug. So you have the mic, the camera, the lights. Have fun.
Oh, okay. Well, if anybody's interested in getting a commission, you can email me at alliesblankcanvasart.com. At gmail.com, whatever. But I do have a website. The website is akfineart.ca. And that is actually the best place to contact me. My email is linked up to that.
There we go. Awesome. Well, Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo, the rest of the world, thank you for tuning in. It does mean the world to me. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Noral Toyota, as well as Carrie from Patchouli Rose. Thank you both for your ongoing support. Hope everybody at home is having a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Peace.